When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now back to Kenny and JT on News Talk 1480 WHBC.
Jackie's up. Let's get rolling, man. I'm ready for this.
Giddy up.
It's the 150th run for the Roses, Churchill Downs tomorrow, which means the Oaks are running today. And help us break down everything thoroughbred style. The one and only from Canton, now calls home Calumet City, Illinois. The one and only Ernie Abood. What's up, Ernie?
JT Kenny, happy 150th Kentucky Derby to you. Coming to you live from Belterra Racetrack down here in Cincinnati.
You drinking those stupid, what do they call, the mint juleps? That thing's terrible.
Oh, I love mint juleps. Have you had a mint julep before? You don't like them?
Not a fan.
Not a fan either, Ernie. Nope.
Love them or hate them. You either love them or hate them.
Hey, Ernie, do me a favor. You're going to the Derby, right?
Yes, sir.
Bring me back one of those glasses, will you?
Sure will. Count awesome. It. I'll bring nice. You back two. One for you, one for Kenny. One for Brian. We'll throw Brian in there.
Oh, nice. Right. Thinking of Brian. Very good.
We'll bring back three for a trifecta.
Kenny, have you ever seen these things?
No, huh?
They're beautiful. They have the new logo, the 150th Kentucky Derby, and on the back, every winner, right, Ernie?
Yeah.
No
kidding. Since 1875, yeah.
Hey, Ernie, out of all those winners, how many have you had?
I've had, since 1998, I've had, four.
There you go.
Okay.
It's not easy to
hard
pick.
To win, very, very difficult racing handicap.
Yeah, no question. 150th. So is this an even bigger deal this year, Ernie, than it's been in recent years because we're at 150?
Well, I mean, the big story is there's no Bob Baffert horses this year, right?
Right.
So here
right.
we are at 150th anniversary, and Baffert has arguably some of the best three-year-olds, and they're not running in this race because of the sanctions imposed by Churchill Downs Incorporated.
Ernie, I was telling Kenny about three-year-olds, and we make a lot to do about this Triple Crown because it's so big in social circles, right? I mean, it's pop culture. It's a phenomenon, and we secretary and everything else. But I was telling Kenny, the better horses are older, right? I mean, why are these three-year-olds?
Well, I mean, traditionally, I mean, for year one when the Kentucky Derby was started, I mean, it was only meant for three-year-olds. I mean, it's a horse where it's a true testament, testimony to the quality of training, the jockey, because these horses are in their infancy stages, but yet they're such special athletes that they're larger, they're stronger, they're bigger, they're higher-handed horses. And if you're a trainer and a jockey to qualify for this race, it's a special moment where you can train and own a Kentucky Derby horse. There's about 30,000. Every January 1st, a horse becomes 3 years old. So 3 years ago, there's about 30,000 foals born, and only 20 make it to the starting post, 20 horses. So it's all based on just the quality of horses, the bloodlines, the ownership, the best trainers, and the jockeys. So they use that three-year-old as a barometer to kind of use it as a springboard for any potential future years coming in their racing career or go on to stud, and that's where they make the big money. Mm.
Ernie, the excitement around this every – does it continue to grow? I mean, does it seem to get bigger and bigger every year and then this is 150?
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, you don't want to know what the ticket market value price is for these tickets this year. It's through the roof.
Really?
Churchill Downs Incorporated is putting a lot of money into the track. Mm-hmm. You will see on television a brand-new paddock, a highly sophisticated construction design. It's a type of a three-tier stadium seating type of paddock. There's no square area of real estate that they haven't discovered to sell to the public, and it continues to grow, and the market is very, very strong with Churchill Downs. And, yeah, I mean, they're putting a lot of capital back into the track. There seems to be no end in sight. Because it's the 150th, I predict the weather hold – depends on the weather, but I predict they'll be at or near a record crowd, probably around 145,000 at this year's Kentucky Derby if the weather holds up.
Ernie, how do these 150. How do these three-year-olds qualify to be in the Derby?
It's all based on a point system with respect to the Kentucky Derby Trail. There are major premier races, and it's based on a point system. But years ago, it was based on prize money, but they changed it to qualify based on a point system. There's graded one races, graded two races, graded three races, and all these races designated as Kentucky Derby preps are given points. Points to the first place finisher, the second place, the third place, even the fourth place. So that's how it's calculated. In the top 20 points, cumulative points, horses make it to the post.
Okay. All right. So how many have been scratched?
One has been scratched, a horse called Encino.
Right.
And that horse has been replaced by a horse called Society Man.
Society Man.
So one horse
Man.
Has been scratched.
Okay. All right. So that was the nine horse, correct, Encino?
Yes.
All right, so Society Man, where does then he line up as far as the gate goes?
Well, he'll be in the 20 hole because they're moving them all down, shifting them one in the post position. For example, Fierceness is number 17 on the program, but he's coming out of the post number 16.
Ooh, that's...
So you want to be careful that when you place your bets and double-check that.
Right, and you know what? Isn't that huge, too? Because I did some research to try and impress you, Ernie Abood, and I found out that out of the 17 hole, no horse has ever won the Kentucky Derby. They are 0 for 44, so he gets out of the 17 hole.
Very astute. Yes, yes. He's now in the 16 hole. That jinx of the 17 post position is we'll see what happens there. But you're right. No horse has won from the 17 post position in the history of the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Amazing.
Now, here's my question then about the Encino getting scratched. So does that mean every spot after the 9 horse moves up one? So the 10 becomes the 9, the 11 becomes the 10, and vice versa?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, that's
all right.
Correct.
All right, just making sure.
Yep.
So what are some of the other things before we get into how we're going to handicap this race? Let's start off with, you mentioned Bob Baffert. Okay, we don't have a Bob Baffert. Do we have a Bob Baffert horse even though he's not a trainer of record?
No. There are no Bob Baffert horses permitted, allowed to race at Churchill Downs. He was given a 2-year sanction, so that ended last year. However, Churchill Downs Inc. suspended him another year.
Okay,
I think it's become very political. I think Bob Baffert has become very contentious. I think there's some animosity between Churchill Downs ownership and Bob Baffert. They're not convinced that he's apologetic. They're not convinced that he understands the guilt of what he's been doing with respect to, or with regard, I should say, to providing betamethasone as a steroid to some of these horses that have been discovered in post-race testing. He's in denial. They go by the science, and they said, okay, you're not accepting this. We're going to suspend you another year.
Wow.
So he's looking at a third year now. Suspension of not having any horse presence at the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And quite frankly, arguably, he may have the best 3-year-old in the country, a horse called Nisos. Yeah. He's not running in the Kentucky Derby. So there may be a little lack of luster, if you will, by Bob Baffert not having a presence here at such a prestigious event because of the ongoing battle between Churchill Downs and Bob Baffert.
And yet, he can still be eligible for Preakness and Belmont, correct?
Correct, correct. Ironically enough, the Preakness race may have more quality, if you will,
right,
of horses than the Kentucky Derby.
Okay. So is there a governing body like we've got Major League Baseball, NCAA? They're each to their own, right? I mean, when we go to New York and we go to Maryland, it's not like there's one governing body. To me, that's a farce.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we were just talking with this with my good friend Chris Corrado. He's vice president, general manager here at Belterra, that each state has their own authority, has their own regulation, and they're all out to protect their own interests.
Right.
So, you know, New York, California, mm-hmm. Florida, those are your big states that drive the revenue, the purses, and they attract the quality horses.
Okay.
There is no governing body. There is a governing safety board that's formulated from the federal government to keep an eye on what horse tracks are doing with regard to breakdowns in the stretch, horse injuries, horse fatalities. So there's some concern there. But in terms of what each state can do, they're on their own to bring in as much money and revenue and purses as possible to attract as much gate as possible.
You know what that's similar to, guys? Boxing, right? The Nevada regulations are different from the Texas regulations and wherever else they might hold a boxing match, right, Ernie?
Good point.
All right, Ernie.
Very astute, Kenny.
Thank you. I'm learning from Ernie and you. You guys are the horse racing experts. I'm the newbie to all of this.
Well, I don't know if I want to be a horse racing expert. You know what an expert is, Kenny?
What's that?
Someone who knows more and more about less and less.
That's right. So we like trainers. We like jockeys because we don't know much about these 3-year-olds. Ernie, tell us who you like tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, if you've been following any of the Kentucky Derby trail, there's a horse here that you cannot ignore, and he is the Derby favorite. And that horse is called Fierceness out of the 17 post position. 16. He'd be listed 17 on the program, but Fierceness is the Kentucky Derby favorite for 2024. If you look at Fierceness's track record, he's finished 3 times. He's had 3 wins in 5 starts. Each one of those wins, he won the Florida Derby by an eye-popping 13 lengths.
Wow.
And it was a walk in the park. He won it handily. Earlier races, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is last year's race, the major race day event, the Breeders' Cup. He won that by 6.5. His main, he won by 11 lengths. If you add all that up, he's winning by a total of 31 lengths. And if you look at the horse on the gallop out beyond the finish line, the horse wants more. The horse is telling Johnny Velasquez, the jockey, what else do you want me to do? So the horse really hasn't been asked to do too much. I was a little concerned about the quality of field in the Florida Derby because he dominated so much, but the fractions don't lie. He ran the last 8 and a fraction that was about 12, a little over 12 and change.
Wow.
And he looked as if he was doing it so effortlessly. So I'm extremely impressed with Fierceness. His workouts are exceptional. Interesting enough, the connections of Rapoli Stable, Mike Rapoli, he had the he owned Forte last year, and Forte was scratched. But I think he's sitting on the horse that's going to win the Kentucky Derby this year, and that's Fierceness. He'll probably go off at about 8-5, maybe down to 7-5. I can't remember the last time a horse won the Kentucky Derby as a favorite. On second thought, I'm thinking for the first time since Justify.
Okay.
Justify, if you remember, Justify 2018, he was the favorite. So since 2018, no horse has won the Kentucky Derby as a favorite. I think this is the year a favorite gets back, the chalk gets back, and you cash in the chalk. Why do I say that? I don't think there's enough speed in this race to blow up the race a la Rich Strike pulling up one of the biggest sport upset history. I don't think you have something like we saw last year, Mage, come off the pace. There is some speed in this race you want to be cautious and be mindful of. But I think Fierceness can rate. He can go on the lead, which he's done to win races, and he can just rate off that hind, second flight, close to that lead. You want to be on that turn for home, close or on the lead at Churchill. It's very rare that you can come from behind with a deep close unless the fractions are off the charts for the quarter and half and three quarters.
All right, Ernie, I'm going to throw 2 horses at you that I, you know, read about. I don't know them. That's why I'm asking you from what other people said. You mentioned,
lay it on,
you know, closing. Catching Freedom, who's an 8-1 horse. The one thing I read in 2 different articles is he's a good closer if he can be near the lead. And also Sierra Leone, who has won 3 horse races this year in 4 starts and has beaten 9 of the 21 horses already this year that are running in this, and they won the Bluegrass Stakes.
two bona fide horses. Sierra Leone out of the number two spot, Catching Freedom out of number four. Sierra Leone seems to keep getting better. He's done nothing wrong. Out of four starts, he's won three. He is an extremely deep closer. He'll be languishing behind a wall of horses, no question about it. Catching Freedom, also a deep closer. One note about Catching Freedom, from what I observed in the Louisiana Derby, which was slow fractions, that says to me that the quality that Catching Freedom beat may not have been that great.
Okay.
But he rallied from last to first and won that race. So Sierra Leone, out of the two, Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom, I believe Sierra Leone is the better horse to finish where the race is really, you know, contested up front with hot fractions.
Okay.
Or they may be a little bit marginal. So Sierra Leone is a wise guy. A lot of people are talking about that could be a horse that could upset Fierceness. But I think Catching Freedom, I'm just a little concerned with the connection between the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby, that there's not a lot of success from horses going from the Louisiana Derby to the Kentucky Derby. And like I mentioned, the Louisiana Derby, the fractions were slow, which says to me quality.
Okay.
It wasn't the best field.
Got it.
All right, I've got a couple there, too, and that's great jockey there. I love Tyler. I like Keith Asmussen on Just Steel, and I like Florent Garreau on Just a Touch. These are kind of long shots. What do you think there, Ernie? As far as having good jockeys on them, they're going to have a good mount, right?
Yeah, I mean, Just a Touch has only raced three times. His first two races were in the slop. He won it first by 4.5. Next time out in the slop at Grade 3, Gothman, New York Aqueduct, he finished second, two lengths behind. And then he raced at Keeneland in the Bluegrass, Grade 1. And he lost to Sierra Leone. He finished second, 1.5 lengths behind Sierra Leone. So I think, again, he'll get a call at the top of the stretch, mm-hmm. which is where you want to be at the Kentucky Derby. And who knows what could happen after that. But he fizzled in a mile and 16th during the Bluegrass. He got caught by Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone won that race by 1.5 lengths. So Justin Touch could be something in your exotics.
Okay.
But another horse that I suggest you keep an eye on that some people are talking about, some wise guys are talking about, and that's the Japanese horse. Yep. I know we talked about the Japanese in factor last year, but they have a horse this year that's very live called Forever Young. The horse is undefeated in five starts and the talk is that he's going to love the mile and a quarter. Japanese have gotten away from breeding for the turf, and they're breeding more for the dirt, and they really have their eyes toward the Kentucky Derby. Whether or not this is the year, I'm not sure, but you might want to put Forever Young in your exotics as well.
Ernie, we've got about a minute to go. We've got time for your trifecta. Give us one, two, and three. How are they going to finish in the 150th run for the Roses?
Okay, I'm backing up the chalk. I usually try to find reasons not to bet the favorite, but this year I'm going with the favorite. That's Fierceness. And then I'm going to go with Sierra Leone with a late kick to finish second. And then it's a toss-up for me for third. I like either Forever Young, the Japanese horse, which is number 11, or Catching Freedom.
All right.
Another late closer.
All right. There you go. There it is. May the 4th be with you, and keep those tickets live, Ernie Abood. And we look forward to doing this in a couple of weeks to get us ready for the Preakness as well. Closing shot.
Real quick. Have Brian send me some information on the Kentucky Derby fundraiser for the downtown Canton YMCA. A lot of fond memories there. And everyone, good luck. Keep your blinkers on. Stay focused. May your tickets be live.
At a win.